And thank you so much. Thank you for the message in that song. What a blessing that is. We are aware that there is no sound on live stream. That does a lot of good for the people listening on live stream right now, but you can stop texting the sound booth. They got it. Well, they don't got it. They just know there's a problem. So they've been feverishly working on it, but so I'm sure they don't need the other 40 texts that are going to come in saying, we don't have live streams now. We got it. No. Sorry about that. Job chapter number one, if you would, please. Job chapter number one, if you would. As we get back here to our study on fear and kind of looking through characters in the Word of God on fear. Look this morning at the character of Job, and we certainly are not going to do justice to his character or to the book of Job, but I want to look at the idea of fear in connection to the book, and it's a significant part of what's taking place in this book. The title of the message is Job, A Proper Fear Equals a Trust by God and a Trust in God. In other words, because Job had the proper fear of God, God trusted Job, and Job trusted God. And they were going to trust each other in what we would consider incredible circumstances. In the midst of, I don't think any of us have ever gone anything near what Job went through. In a span of just a few minutes, if you will, Job loses everything, and yet he still trusts God. So let's look at this from that standpoint. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feareth God, there's our word, and escheweth evil. Now, most of us believe that Job is the oldest book in the Bible, probably the oldest book in the world. We do not know for sure who wrote it. There's some speculation, or really when it was written, but we believe it was probably sometime after Babel, the Tower of Babel, and probably early in the patriarchal period. But again, we're not totally sure on that. Its main purpose seems to deal with why godly people suffer. So much of truth during difficult times is drawn from this passage of Scripture throughout the book of Job. The book gives us a look at very many subjects, including things that we wouldn't know otherwise. It talks a lot about creation. Matter of fact, when God is talking to Job, he says to him, basically, Job, where were you? And then he lays out all of these things. And we learn a bunch of stuff. We learn that there's a treasury of the snow, and we learn about sea monsters, and we learn about all this stuff that it's like, wow. And you just think about some of those things. It's like, okay, a treasury of the snow? Can you imagine all the snow that's been dumped on this world for the last thousands of years and God held it in a treasure? Just some of those things are really neat when you think about the book of Job. But the main subject is Job's suffering, and he doesn't know why he's suffering. Why doesn't God just tell him what's going on? Why doesn't God just say, by the way, Job, Satan has challenged you, and I believe that you can handle this? Well, because if he did, it really wouldn't be a true test, would it? There are certainly a number of reasons, but one of those is once we know, it would no longer be an act of faith on Job's part. In some instances, it would no longer be a trial, if you will. One author said the Scriptures are as wise in their reservations as they are in their revelations. In other words, God is wise in what he doesn't tell us just as much as he's wise in what he does tell us. William Cowper wrote, "Behind a frowning providence, God hides a smiling face." God knew he could trust Job with riches, but God also knew he could trust Job with poverty and mourning. So I want us to see this morning that we must live our life so God can trust us in the good times and in the bad times. Live our life that way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this incredible character study and so much that it answers for us. May we be fair to the text this morning. May your people listen attentively, and may your Spirit do the work that only he can do. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first off, God's assessment of Job. What does God say about Job? Well, he gives us four things about him. He's perfect. He's upright. He fears God and escheweth evil. This word perfect means complete. He was morally innocent. He's having integrity. In other words, he had incredible character. He was ethically pure. Job was a man that tried to do right in every single circumstance. We, of course, know that he was not without sin. Only Jesus Christ was without sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary for us. But Job was morally right. Job made good choices, and God knew this. He was upright. He was correct. He was righteous, if we could say that. And of course, that righteousness came as a relationship in Jesus Christ. He feared God. God affirms that he fears him. The fact that Job's friends will later dispute. In other words, Job's friends will challenge him that he does not fear God. But God says that he does. You probably didn't wake up this morning using the word escheweth. Right? I mean, it's probably not a word in your normal vocabulary. The word simply means to turn aside from evil. In other words, to avoid it. Job made conscious choices all the time to avoid evil in every place that he could. In other words, he wasn't cozying up to sin. By the way, God again confirms these characteristics of Job in verse 8 of this passage of Scripture. This time, he's talking directly to Satan. And he says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he again says, he's perfect, he's upright, he fears God, he escheweth evil. God, if you will, displays Job as a trophy of his grace and his working in a man's life. This holds incredible weight because this is not just a biblical author's opinion of Job. This is God's opinion of Job. I may say about someone, that person's a godly person. They're righteous. They walk right. But I don't really know that person. They could fool me. It's happened before. You've been fooled before by people. But God's not fooled. So when he gives this character assessment of Job, it is an accurate assessment. Can I ask you, what does God think of you and I? What does he think of me? What does he think of you? As he assesses your character, your integrity, what does he know about us? Number two, we see Satan's accusation of Job. Now, God again says to Satan, "Where you been?" "Well, I've been walking around, walking to and fro." And he says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now, this is interesting. We know that the Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. He's a slanderer. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now it comes salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now, I don't know exactly what this scene was doing, but it very well could have been where Job was like, "Well, this person over here, have you seen him? Boy, they did this choice last week and they made that. And boy, did you see this person had this motive and this person had this thought and this person and this person and this person and this person?" And God said, "Have you considered Job?" You hadn't brought up Job yet. Have you considered him? His character is such, and God again affirms his character. But then I want you to notice Satan's accusation against Job, verse 9. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught?" Does Job not fear you? The reason he fears you is because you've been so good to him. That's what verse 10 says. "Hast thou not made a hedge about him? And about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand and his substance is increased in the land." Well, of course God is going to fear you. You've been too good to him. You put a hedge of protection about him. Of course he's going to fear you with that. In other words, he was complaining, or he was accusing, if I could use that word. He was accusing Job of only serving God when things went good. That's what he was accusing him of. By the way, it's interesting, isn't it, that Satan recognizes that Job does indeed fear God? He doesn't argue the fact that Job fears God. He knows that. His reason for fearing him is what Satan is challenging here. We'll get in just a few minutes to his wonderful friends who all make accusation about Job's fear of God. Satan believes that Job fears God because of God's protection, because of God's provision. But if God, you'll remove those things from him, he'll curse you. And so God, in his all-knowing power, allows Satan to test his premise. Now, Job doesn't know this. Job doesn't know that God has lifted him as a trophy of his grace. Job doesn't know that Satan has gotten permission to try him. And so everything Job is going to say and do, he does and says by faith and who his God really is. And by the way, what unfolds in verses 13 through 19 is really unthinkable, isn't it? In a matter of just a few minutes, Job goes from being one of the wealthiest men in the world to abject poverty. He goes from being from one of the most respected men in the world to people laughing and jeering at him when he walks down the street. He became from a man who had 8 children that he prayed for and sacrificed for and so forth to being no children, fatherless. They're not fathers. He's childless is what I was looking for. And just like that. I mean, when you look at the sequence of Scripture, it's like this person comes, and before that person finishes, the next one comes, and before that one finishes, the next one comes. Wow. You know, it always is intriguing to me. Rather than complaining about God, why don't we complain about Satan? Why don't we say, well, Satan has done this to me, and I'm never going to serve him the rest of my days? Why don't we say that? You realize that even death itself was introduced by Satan into the world. He introduced sin, and because of that, death came upon all men, for that all have sinned. God didn't create this world with sin. Satan introduced that. So when you really want to get mad at somebody, get mad at him. He's the one who does that. Can I just tell you what this motivates me to do? It motivates me to not let the devil be right. It motivates me when he says to God, well, that Jim Ogle, the only reason he's serving you is because of this and this and this. I want to serve God in the good times and the bad. I want us to see, number 3, God's affirmation of Job's character. He now confirms. By the way, we see Job's character unfold. Look at verse 20 of chapter 1. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and complained about what God did to him. That's not what the text says, does it? He charged God. He decided he wasn't going to serve God anymore. No, the Bible says, and worshiped. Worshiped. And said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything I have was a blessing from God anyway. God owes me nothing. He owes me nothing. Therefore, I'm going to bless his name no matter what happens. Wow. In other words, he's already proven Satan wrong. By the way, verse 22. Says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Chapter 2. Again, Satan comes. Again, he came to present himself before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence come you? Where are you coming from? Oh, going to and fro on the earth, walking around up and down in it. Have you considered my servant Job? Job's character hasn't changed. You've moved me against him, but his character has not changed. God's affirmation of his character. Job's response, yes, he mourned. It's proper to mourn when things go wrong. Nothing wrong with that. I've had people indicate to me that if they're mourning, something's wrong with them. They're not trusting God. Look, we can trust God and mourn at the same time. It's a part of life that we mourn those that we love. But he worshiped. He affirmed his belief in God and maintained his integrity. God again adds these same commendations to him. He's perfect, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Look at the end of verse 3. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Wow, he holds that integrity. By the way, Job was not a man without human, if you will, natural fear. You may think, well, Job must have been somebody special because, you know, he didn't have the fear that we have. No, it wasn't that he didn't have feelings. Notice with me, if you would, at Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Job says this, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Job had natural fear. Job had exactly what you and I would fear. Listen, the truth is, I can't imagine losing all my children in one day. That would be a horrible thing. It wasn't that Job didn't have this. Look at verse 26 of this same chapter. "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." It's not that Job is some spiritual girl up here who doesn't have anything happening to him and that he doesn't have the natural human fears that we're going to have. He very much had those fears. It's what he did with those fears that made the difference. Job did not allow those fears to turn him against his God, but rather run to his God. Can I ask you this question? Do you trust God no matter what it feels like? Because there's going to be times when it's not going to feel real good. There's going to be times when it appears that God is totally out of the picture. That God doesn't know what he's doing in this particular circumstance. That God, I can't figure out what's going on. Wow. Job, a man of character. Well, we see number 4, Job's acquaintances charge him. Now, you know these guys. They come, they sit with Job. They do a really good job the first 7 days they're there. That's because they don't open their mouth at all, right? And then all of a sudden they open their mouth, okay? Now, what happens is these guys assume they know what's going on, okay? That's what they assume. They assume that they know some theological truths that they just jump to. So let's look at each one of them just quickly. We don't have time to spend a lot on them. But Zophar accuses Job of being afraid because he's living in sin. Notice what he says in Job 11 and verse 15. "For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot." In other words, Job, you can actually look at God without sin in your life. "Thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear." Job, if you get the sin out of your life, you don't have to fear God anymore. But can I tell you, God disagreed with him. Because God said Job was a man that escheweth evil. He avoided evil. He pushed evil out of the thing. So when Zophar says, "Job, you're actually looking at God, you're hiding your face, if you will. You can look up your face without fear if you would just get right with God." That wasn't true. That wasn't what was going on here. Number 2, Eliphaz says Job cast off fear. This aspect of fear is that he cast off the fear of the Lord. Job 15 and verse 4. "Yea, thou castest off fear and restrainest prayer before God." Job, your problem is that you're not right with God. You should have kept fearing God. Again, God disagrees with him. Why? Because Job is one that feareth God. That's what he said. Bildad says, "Fear lives with God, and because of that, how could Job be justified?" Job chapter 25 and verse 2, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places," this guy says, Bildad. It's like, Job, God is fear, and you don't have any justification before God. Again, God called Job a man that was justified. Job's justification wasn't in his abilities, it was in his relationship with God. See, these guys made the assumption that when something bad happens to someone, it's because God's judging them. Something's gone wrong. They're not the only ones, by the way. Do you remember the guys in the New Testament that said, Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Hello. By the way, there were some Jews that believed you could commit sin in the womb, which is kind of absurd, but that's what they believed. And what did they mean? Well, they thought that if you've got something wrong with you, you obviously have sin in your life. What did God say to that? Neither one. He has this so that God could be glorified through this process. Elihu says that God can't be understood. Job 37, verse 24, men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. We should just fear him and not try to understand him, Elihu says. His assumption is that Job does not fear God. Again, God disagrees with him. Job, who do you think you are that you actually can know God? Job knew God a lot better than these guys did. Now, by the way, God is going to correct Job. He is going to remind Job that he's not God in the process. But I want to remind you that when God gets through with this, Job humbles himself before God, clearly. And then God says to these rascals, you better have Job pray for you. That's the way the book ends. Job's acquaintances charge him. Can I just encourage you that we need to be careful not to jump to conclusions about people or what's happening in their lives. We don't know what God's doing. Like, well, I tell you what, boy, that guy's had one thing after another. If I was him, I'd sure be getting right with God, whatever's wrong in his life. Thank you, Bildad, Eliphaz, because you don't know what's going on. Could it be that God has said, okay, you can do this and this and this and this to him? Is exactly what happened in the story of Job. I want us to see lastly this morning, Job's awareness. By the time we get deep into the book, and again, I wish we could do justice to the entire book, but by the time we get deep in the book, we get to Job chapter 28 and verse 28, and he says this, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. All that Job's been through, all that his friends have said, all that's going on in his life, what is he saying? I can tell you something I know. The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. To depart from evil, that's understanding. Do you see this? Job's not moving. His friends can be against him. His children can die. He can be poor. Now he is physically afflicted beyond anything we can imagine. And in the midst of it, he still knows it's right to fear God. Well, listen, Job is clinging to what he knows when what he doesn't know is difficult. What he doesn't know is incredibly difficult. He doesn't understand. He can't see God, yet he still trusts him. Would you hear these words? Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Job said, it doesn't matter where I look. I've tried to look for God, and God, you're hidden from me. I don't know what's going on. But notice the next verses. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see that? I can't see God this way, and I can't see God that way, and where he normally is over here, I can't see him, and when he's over here, I can't see him. I don't know where he's at, but I know that he knows the way that I take, and I'm going to keep trusting him, and when I'm all done, I'm going to come forth as gold, because that's what God's promised me. Amazing. Amazing. Do we practice in the face of difficulty the fear of God? The truth is, if I have to be honest, sometimes difficulty comes and I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? Can I just tell you, my human nature, my first response is not to worship. My first response is to question. What are you doing, God? Like, what's going on? As if I or you deserve anything better, right? Because we really don't. Whatever happens, we don't deserve any better than what God chooses to give us. Do we demonstrate to the world that we have God's wisdom, God's understanding, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of one after one after one of bad news? When the family that's left says, just curse God and die. When the friends say, Job, look, if you were really righteous, you wouldn't be in this position. If you really feared God, da-da-da-da. By the way, Job, you can't know God anyway, so why even try it? I mean, that's basically what these guys are saying. There's much more that they say in this passage. The truth is, I don't know how I would respond if these things happened to me. But I sure hope and pray that my God would be pleased. I hope that he would say, have you considered my servant? Have you considered him in the midst of all of this? He retains his integrity. Have you considered that, Satan? I wonder what it was like when Job entered glory. Now, possible Job understood all this later. I don't know that. We know that during the midst of this, he did not understand. See, fear anchors us in what's right, the proper kind of fear of God, because ultimately we know things may be totally chaos around me. I can trust God. I know my God, and I can trust him. And Job demonstrates that over and over and over and over again. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'd love to see the exchange between God and Satan at the end. You've tried everything, Satan, and my servant still maintains his integrity. Don't you want that said about you? Boy, I sure do. Father, we can trust you in the good times and the bad. But boy, that's a theology easier talked about than lived. And God, I pray that you would help our dear people. I know some of them have been through incredibly difficult times over these last months. Really almost a year now. We've been through, as a nation, as a world, some difficult times. But even individually, our people have lost family members and difficult things and diagnoses that are not fun and all of that. But God, in the midst of all of it, may we simply trust you, because you're a trustworthy God. Now, Lord, would you work in hearts and lives now, we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I ask you this morning, how's your relationship with God? Can I tell you, he's a God that can be trusted. He knows exactly what he's doing. Through it all, through every bit of difficulty, he knows what he's doing. Though I don't understand it all, and though you don't understand it all, God has a sovereign plan. And it's one of those things where I can say, God, I simply trust you. Do you have that kind of fear of God? The right, proper fear of him? If not, can I challenge you this morning to get that right with him? To just say, God, whatever this path is, I want to completely trust you. That's my goal. Perhaps this morning you've never fully trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Job's integrity was not his own. It was that which he had in a relationship with God. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary so that we could be freed from our sin. Wow, what a wonderful truth that is. And we'd love to help you this morning with that. Just show you some truths from God's word about how you can have that kind of relationship with God. Would you quietly stand with heads bowed and eyes closed? They're going to begin to play. I just want to challenge you this morning. Would you get whatever right with God that you need to? Have you been fearing God the way Job did? Have you been able to say, God, I trust you no matter what the difficulty is? Do you have some need? Because we could sure love to help you. Pastor Adam is to my right. One of my deacons is to my left. They're here. If any way at all we can help you, we'd love to this morning. Can you trust him? How I trust thee. How I've proved thee o'er and o'er. I'm going to let them play one more time through. Can you trust God? You can. Do you have that kind of fear?